Ann Arbor's 107.1 is proud to make a commitment to live music. Welcome to another performance in Studio A2, made possible with support from Bank of Ann Arbor.
We're having a fantastic afternoon, and welcome to Studio A2, John Hyatt. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
And the timing's great because the album just came out yesterday. Same Old Man has just been released, and this is the mini promo tour. You were at Acoustic Cafe session earlier today,
That's
right?
That's correct. Yeah, we're doing a mini promo tour of Ann Arbor.
Yep.
Mainly, we just came up here to eat. You know, wonderful food.
Yes, we do.
And what's up with that, by the way? Why is this such a culinary capital? Is it because of Jim Harrison?
I don't know. I think it's just a creative place. And it's just, you know, and plus people are into more like organic stuff and kind of doing it the right way. And it's not as much processed food and stuff.
I've had more good meals in this neck of the woods than probably anywhere else.
You wouldn't be so skinny if you lived up here is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And we actually had a topic we were talking about before we went on the air. We hit it off pretty well because you're a pretty big hockey fan, right?
I am, ever since my brother dragged me to the rinks at 5 in the morning when I was a kid in Indianapolis. He played junior. He played, you know, some kind of league hockey and loved it. And I grew up watching it.
And you've been following the series with the Wings and the Pens.
Yeah, I have. You know, the Wings look mighty.
Yeah, they do. He's rooting for the Pens, though.
Well, my daughter goes to school there.
Okay.
They're a young team, and, you know, we talked. They're going to win some cups.
Absolutely.
Not this year, I don't think.
Not this year, but that's a really good team. But we don't want them to do that well this year. We'll take the next few games.
It's definitely the Red Wings' year. They've played mightily all year, and through the playoffs, they're just amazing. Yeah.
It's kind of fun to watch, you know. It's fine. I'll show you the Red Wing shrine I put up my desk in a little bit. So you want to play a song for us?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. I was sitting in the dressing room. Brownie McGee, he was drinking that milk with that Dewar's whiskey. He said, John, there's nothing written anywhere that suggests the blues is gonna set you free. Old days are coming back to me. I was riding in the back seat with Sonny Terry. Little harmonica player used to drive him around. I think his name was Harry. Tried to get him to eat tofu, raw vegetables, nuts and berries, but Sonny wasn't gonna have any of it. He let me share a room with him for a couple of weeks. Sonny slept with his good eye open, staring at him under the sheets. I was young and uncomfortable, I don't mind telling you, kinda gave me the creeps. Old days are coming back to me. Old days are coming back to me. I don't know what was so good about it. I played practically free, but I had nothing to live up to. And everywhere to be, old days are coming back to me. I was on some dates with Mose Allison, somewhere in the Midwest. He said some of my lyrics reminded him of the poet Kenneth Patchen. I took it as a compliment. He was referring to the line about wearing neon signs on your wounds. Later on, I knew what he meant. Old days are coming back to me. On a date with John Lee Hooker, packed joint up in Washington. He walked in with a gorgeous woman on each arm as I was singing my song. He walked him right up and sat him on the edge of the stage as I went singing along. And that's called Evening Sun. I'm the headliner. Old days are coming back to me. I don't know what was so great about it. They tried to be free, but I had nothing to do.
Arbor's 107.1 in Studio A2, which is made possible with support from Bank of Ann Arbor, and that is Old Days, which is track one on the new album called Same Old Man. And this has just been released. It's a day old now. And yep, and you've been playing different venues talking about this. I guess you're playing some dates with Lyle Lovett recently, talking about the release of this, and it kind of gets pushed back a little bit than your first. His first, it was going to be what, like February was going to be out, and then early May, and then late May.
Yeah, you know how these things go, Mark. You know,
yeah,
you're always a day late and a dollar short.
Now, you know, you're talking about the old days, and we've kind of reached this point in the music industry where, you know, it's always been changing. I mean, you've been doing this since the 70s, and it's always been changing, but, yeah. And we're going to be changing microphones, actually, because sure. We had some problems with this one, but the changes that are going on in the music industry are coming faster and more furious than ever, and, I mean, what is your advice? What do you see as being the strongest advice you could give to anybody that's upcoming that's a singer-songwriter? Ooh. Like dealing with the way things are, because it has changed so much. And I'm sure you're on top of it. Your kids are on top of it. I mean, how do you deal with it? It's completely different. I mean,
well, first off, I don't take my, you know, it's advice. It's like, take my advice. I'm not using it. You know, I don't give advice, but I think the best thing is always just to, it would seem like to me the best thing to do would be to just pay attention to your own artistry and don't worry about the biz and, you know, do I have the right manager or what I need to do to break into showbiz. I think you just, you need to keep the emphasis on developing yourself as an artist. I think that's where all the benefits come from, and I think that's what the creative arts are. You're a craftsman until you work on it hard enough to take it to a higher level, and then it becomes something greater, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's a discipline like anything else, you know.
And sometimes there's too many advisors giving too much, saying that, well, this isn't how it works, but a lot of times by the time you know, somebody catches up with something like a trend, it's no longer the trend. You're onto something else. So
you just
got to be good at what you do, and eventually maybe people will come around, and sometimes they don't. But if you're not the best at what you do.
Yeah, well, you know, the record business used to be more about innovation than it is now, certainly. But it's getting back to that, you know, now that things are getting smaller, and, you know, the small labels are becoming more of an entity. You know, it's... all of a sudden, it means something to sell 50,000 units, or whatever the heck they call them these days.
Yeah.
You know, 100,000. You know, it means something now because it's not easy to do.
No,
you know,
no.
So that's a wonderful time. It's really, I think, wonderful opportunities for young artists to do good work.
I do too. I think to me, it's like now you're no longer on a record company timetable as much. You're kind of doing your own thing. You see more artists that maybe they're between albums, but they have something they want to get out there, and they don't want to wait two more years. So they put something out on the internet, maybe three or four songs. And they say, here, take it for free, because this is just something I'm playing with. It's not the full album. And I think the album's making a comeback, too. So then you want to make money, you better put out a complete album. You can't just do one hit and then... you know, a bunch of filler.
Yeah,
can't do that anymore.
And you know, a vinyl is coming back as well. I mean, of course, we always say that, but we put this record out on vinyl, and people seem interested in that experience again. My kids buy vinyl a great deal, and I don't think they're the exception. I think it's happening more and more. The people want that experience of going in, you know, shopping for the record, taking it home, reading this big graphic design thing, read, you know, open it up, the excitement of putting it on a turntable and the physical thing of plunking that needle down and hearing that initial little, that sound that it makes before.
That little clicking sound. And we got the Elvis Costello album and a few weeks ago, or maybe about a month ago now, and we actually hooked up a turntable in the studio, which is something we usually don't do. Everything's on computer now.
Yeah.
And actually, I put the needle on the record on the air, and it was fun to do that. I was a little nervous doing it, because I thought I was going to, you know,
I thought I was going to bounce it, because
it's been so long since I did this. It's been since college.
You know, that's an experience you can't download.
And
I think kids are realizing, this is special.
this is
something I can do for myself that's a special thing, you know.
It's
like reading a book.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... you know, you can't really, it's not the same as, like, you know, staring at something online.
Yeah, or, you know, getting these ebook things. It's not the same as turning the paper right. pages and all that. Right. They're convenient, but not always as good.
And also, you know, there's so much music available now. It's an unprecedented time for just, if you want to, you can hear anything.
Yeah.
You can dig around and just hear anything your little heart desires and stuff you've never imagined, even music that you never would have imagined even being made, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
I want
to ask you about some of the things that you do between promoting albums and recording albums. You want to play another song for us first?
Sure.
Which one are you going to play?
Well, heck, that's a dang good question. I think I'll play this little tune it's a love song. They're all love songs.
Yeah, it's an album full of love songs.
It's an
first
album
time
full
you've done
of
that.
Love songs, man.
Okay.
I was speeding through the dark, I didn't know how far. It can all run away with you sometimes in an empty boxcar. You were trying to tell me something, I wasn't listening to you. There was nothing but confusion every time that train come blowing through. And you wrote me in a letter, I don't know how your courage came. And you told me what you wanted, every word in tears and flame. How you loved me more than ever, in spite of all the hurt inside. And it cracked my heart wide open, till there was no place left to hide. And I wanna thank you, babe, for letting me back in. I wanna thank you for asking me to love you again. I wanna thank you, babe, for letting me back in. I wanna thank you for asking me to love you again. I've forgotten how to be patient, I've forgotten how to caress, I've forgotten how to ask for help and how to struggle for my best. I was harder than those iron wheels rolling down the track, and every trip I took I never looked to get any feelings back. So I wanna thank you, babe, for letting me back in. I wanna thank you for asking me to love you again. I wanna thank you, babe, for letting me back in. I wanna thank you for asking me to love you again. And you met me at the station with a promise and a kiss. You said my love for you will always be true, but you must remember this: respect me and protect me, but don't expect me not to fall. And I will do the same for you until the final call. So I wanna thank you, babe, for letting me back in. I wanna thank you for asking me to love you again. I wanna thank you, babe, for letting me back in. I wanna thank you for asking me to love you again. Asking me to love you.
Rivers 107.1 in Studio A2, made possible with support from Bank of Ann Arbor and John Hyatt, who is going to be back here kicking off his tour with the Ageless Beauties?
The Ageless Beauties, yeah, yep, a bunch of young men.
Yep, that's your band, and you're going to be here part of the Ann Arbor Summer Festival, and that's going to be on June 26th at the Power Center. So you will be back.
And we're looking forward to that,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this album, I've heard it described as kind of a love letter to the family. In a way.
Yeah, well, it's to my wife. You know, we've been married 22 years. We finally got the kids up and out of the house. The last one left 2 years ago, and it's a place neither one of us have ever been before. You know, to be 22 years married and still very romantically in love, more intensely than we've ever been, really. And that's new territory for me and her. I mean, we've never been here before.
Yeah, so. You've been through a lot together, but not alone.
Exactly. You know? We've been through a lot together, and we've raised these kids up, and now here we are, you know, acting like kids ourselves. So it's an exciting time, and it just sort of came out through the music for this record.
And speaking of kids, your daughter, that last track you sang, Love You Again, your daughter Lily sings
on
that.
Yeah, my 24-year-old, the middle child, Lily, sang great harmonies on that one and another song called What Love Can Do.
Fantastic. And yeah. Do they have aspirations of being in the music business, or is this more of a hobby for
them? Yeah, no, it's a real passion for her, and she's really good. She's a good songwriter, and, you know, she's just pounding away.
Yep, it's a lot of hard work, you know.
Trying to stay out of it and just...
Yeah. Just, you know, kind of let her do her thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, I have to ask you, I mean, you write an awful lot of songs, and of course, what is this album, number 16 or 17?
18.
18, okay.
That's what they tell me.
Okay, yeah. How are you supposed to keep track? Yeah. But you just record them and get them out there.
That's
but
right.
What do you do in the downtime when you're not writing or recording? What keeps you busy? I mean, do you have like a hobby, a job that you have to get up and do? Do you do? I always wondered about that. People that if they have breaks like that, I mean, what do you do? I mean, do you have stuff like – you have hobbies that you do around the house? Are you like this avid gardener that you're out there all summer working on the garden?
I'm not an avid gardener.
No.
I used to run race cars around an oval track for fun. Did that for about 10 years, but I stopped doing that about 3 or 4 years ago. And my wife finally talked me into getting up on a horse. She's been riding for – the last 18-20 years, and she finally talked me into it, and so I enjoy that.
Okay,
we go horseback riding. The world looks different from the back of a horse, that's for sure. And so I do that, and you know, that's
now. Have you ever had any periods where you had any kind of songwriting block and it was kind of driving you crazy, or did you just kind of let it
in between every one? In between the last one and the next one.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Are you a person who likes to go in and make a record really quickly? I mean, it seems like it's pretty bare bones record. It's pretty straightforward.
Well,
it seems like you.
Yeah, this I normally work very quick because I'm cheap.
Yeah,
but this record was different. I actually wired up all this junk I've been collecting for years and sort of set up a studio out at the farm. And it was actually in my old race car shop.
Okay.
And so I had all the time in the world because I finally had my own little, setup.
It was the Highway 61 tanning and barbecue.
Yeah, recording, tanning and barbecue.
Because
you have, when you live in the country, you have to diversify.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Cool. So you want to play one more song for us?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. It's John Hyatt, Studio A2.
Happiest when we needed the least. Who knew this love would turn into such a feast? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a midnight snack. I'm full to the brim, but I keep coming back. You take your tiara, babe, I'll take my crown. Come on, honey, let's go downtown. Trade them in on pauper's rags and some worn-out shoes. Count on the kindness of strangers
That's what love can do. That's what love can do. Make you feel brand new. That's what love can do. Lose someone you thought was you. That's what love can do. Fire your heart and burn clean through. That's what love can do. That's what love can do. That's what love can do. It's like we're laid in this riverbed for a couple of million years, shaped by the waters till we've nearly disappeared. Two little grains of sand locked in the eternal kiss. Don't wake me up now, it's something that I might miss. That's what love can do, make you feel brand new. That's what love can do, lose someone you thought was you. That's what love can do, fire your heart and burn clean through. That's what love can do. That's what love can do. That's what love can do. Comes true. Can you imagine what love can do? You're alone in the coffee shop, and then she's by your side. Love's picked up the tab, and you're both having pie. Well, that's what love can do, make you feel brand new. That's what love can do. Someone you thought was you. That's what love can do. Fire your heart and burn clean through. That's what love can do. That's what love can do. Make you feel brand new. That's what love can do. Lose someone you thought was you. That's what love can do. Fire your heart and burn clean through. That's what love can do. That's what love can do. That's what love can do.
Arbor's 107.1 in Studio A2, made possible with support from Bank of Ann Arbor and John Hyatt. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks, Mark. My pleasure.
And again, you're going to be back in Ann Arbor coming up for the Summer Festival show. That's going to be at the Power Center on June 26th.
June 26th, we're kicking off the tour.
Kicking
here.
Off the Aegis Beauties.
I had to come up here to get a decent meal.
Yep, absolutely. But no, it's really, really nice to meet you. And so many people have covered your songs. All the covers of your songs, what's your favorite?
Oh, Mark, no, you
that's
can't.
It. That's like picking
that's
your
like
favorite
picking
kid.
That's like picking your favorite child. You can't, yeah. Can't do that because yeah. The others.
Everyone will get mad.
You know, yeah, you can't but, do it. You can't do it. But there's been a lot of great ones.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, going back all the way, Three Dog Night was
yeah,
the first
that's
major
what,
one.
That was my first sort of. Actually, you know, my very first cover was Tracy Nelson did Thinking of You, okay. Which is a song I wrote when I was 17. I wrote it the year before I came down to Nashville.
Okay.
And she was nice enough to record it, and I thought, wow, I'm okay.
I made it.
Here I go, and then it took me about three more years before I got another one. But, you know, it's funny because I never set out to do that. I never set out to be to write songs for other people. It just sort of happened.
And yeah, people just find your stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to do that.
So. It's been a great way to get the music out there. Yeah. It really, really has worked.
And it's just got to be flattering, too. I mean,
very much so.
Yeah. So glad to see you're in such good spirits these days.
Thanks,
and Same Old Man is second day out now. So it's
second
a new
day
album.
And we'll be around. It'll be around for a while. Buy it on vinyl, CD. I think they have a body wrap version for $39.95. You can actually wear it, and it does other weird things besides just, I don't know.
Cool. Yeah, they have all kinds of versions.
What do they, how do they put them out these days?
I think they can download it right into your brain at some point. Yeah, so you can just listen to it whenever you think about it. So,
go to the DMV. They suck out your brain, give you a license, and the new CD.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, thanks for coming in. It's Studio A2 with Ann Arbor's 107.1 and John Hyatt.
This is KUT 90.5. I'm Jay Trachtenberg. We're downstairs in Studio 1A for some live music. Cliff Hargrove is our engineer. Today we are really pleased and proud and honored to have John Hyatt here. He's one of the premier songwriters in popular music. He's written songs that have been recorded by the likes of Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, Bruce Springsteen, Bonnie Raitt, the Neville Brothers, Iggy Pop, and that's just barely scratching the surface. He has a new album that'll be out in just a couple of weeks called The Same Old Man. He's about to be honored by the Americana Music Association later in the summer in Nashville for a Lifetime Achievement Award in the songwriting category. And he's currently in town doing a songwriter showcase with some of his buddies, Joe Ely, Guy Clark, and also Lyle Lovett. So, John Hyatt, welcome to KUT. It's really
an
honor.
Thanks, Jay. Boy, that's quite a build-up, huh?
You've been around for a while, huh?
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, you want to just start off with a song real quick and
chit-chat? Yeah, I'll play a new a song off the new album. This is called Old Days.
Sitting in the dressing room with Brownie McGee. He was drinking that milk with our Dewar's whiskey. He said, John, you know there's nothing written anywhere suggests the blues will set you free. Old days are coming back to me. I was riding in the back seat with Sonny Terry. You know, had a little harmonica player used to drive him around. I think his name was Harry. He used to try to get him to eat tofu, raw vegetables, nuts and berries, but Sonny wasn't having any of it. They let me share a room with him for a couple of weeks. Sonny slept with his good eye open, staring out from under the sheets, and I was young and uncomfortable. I don't mind telling you, kind of gave me the creeps. Old days are coming back to me. Old days are coming back to me. Well, I don't know what was so good about them. I played practically free, but I had nothing to live up to and everywhere to be. Old days are coming back to me. I was on some dates with Mose Allison somewhere out in the Midwest. He said some of my lyrics reminded him of the poet Kenneth Patchen. You know, I took it as a compliment. He was referring to the line about wearing neon signs on your wounds. Later on, I knew what it meant. Old days are coming back to me. On a date with John Lee Hooker at a packed joint up in Washington, he walked in with a gorgeous woman on each arm as I was singing my song. You know, he walked him up and sat him right on the edge of the stage as I went singing along, and that's called Evening Sun. I'm the headliner. Old days are coming back to me. I don't know what was so great about them. I played practically free, but I had nothing to live up to and everywhere to be. Old days are coming back to me. Yep. Oh yeah. Old days are coming right back to me. Yep. With John Hammond Jr., let's see, was in Vancouver, B.C. An exotic dancer come into my dressing room, started dancing exotically. You know, there was smoking some in the audience that night, smelled exactly like cat pee. Old days are coming back to me. Opening a show for Gate Mouth Brown down in Baton Rouge. He was playing that hillbilly jazz, Cajun, Zydeco, country, rhythm, and blues. Mixing them up and throwing them out past the walls like some musical centrifuge. Old days are coming back to me. Old days are coming back to me. I don't know what was so great about them. I paid practically free, but I had nothing to live up to, everywhere to be. Old days are coming back to me. One more time. Old days are coming back to me. I don't know what was so great about them. I paid practically free, but I had nothing to live up to, and everywhere to be. Old days are coming back to me. Old days are coming back to me. Yeah, old days are coming back to me, baby. Oh!
John Hiatt is here with us today on KUT 90.5, and that's the tune that starts off his new album, a tune called Old Days. The album will be out at the end of this month. So those must have been sort of, you know, maybe hard times, but you got to hang out with John Lee Hooker and Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee and those guys. That's priceless. Yeah,
fantastic times.
So were you pretty young then, or you were kind of into your career?
It was mid-70s. I'd come to Nashville when I was 18, about 71, and I got a job writing songs at Tree Publishing Company for about $25 a week, and which I was thrilled to get. And by the time I left, I think they'd had me up to a couple hundred bucks a week. And, you know, I'd made a couple albums for Epic Records, and which had done nothing. And I'd had one or two covers. But really, you know, I'd never kind of fit the mold, of course, of the country song. Mm-hmm. I really didn't. Know how to write those kind of songs, to be honest with you, though I was a big fan of that stuff and felt honored to be in the same publishing company as writers like, Curly Putnam, Red Lane, Bobby Braddock, who wrote a lot of great hits for George Jones, etc. So I felt like I was learning a bunch, you know, sort of by osmosis, just hanging around those guys. But then everything kind of petered out, and the publishing deal kind of ran out, and they decided that to let me go. So I had to go out and make a living, and so I had the good fortune of having a booking agent who also booked some of these guys I mentioned in that song. A guy named Mike Kappas, who had a little agency in Wisconsin called Rosebud, the last word in entertainment. So he put me out on the road with a lot of those guys, man. I did a lot of touring with Sonny, Terry, and Brownie. I did a lot of shows with John Lee, and went out with John Hammond quite a bit, and played with Mose Allison. And he really did say that about the... you remind me of Kenneth Patch, and some people wear their wounds like neon signs. And I thought, oh, he thinks I'm cool. And I was like, oh, I get it. Yeah, it was funny.
Well, you started, or people started having hits on your records pretty early on, starting with Three Dog Night way back when.
Well, you know, that I got lucky with that one, and that's what kept me around Tree for the 5 years I was there, thank God. I was very fortunate. That was something off the first album I made for Epic Records, which the whole Epic Records deal came about. A Texas fellow named Travis Rivers, whom I befriended when I got to Nashville, he has the distinction of discovering Janis Joplin and taking her out to San Francisco and getting her signed. A great, great dear friend of mine. But he's the guy that got me signed to Epic Records. Through New York, I probably wouldn't have gotten signed through the Nashville label. But I got lucky with that song, and I really didn't have any other covers in those 5 years. And didn't really set out to get covers. But it's just kind of a happy accident that it kind of developed into, you know, a nice sort of side career.
So when you were starting your career as a musician, and you were kind of getting on, and you're making these albums, and they weren't on the charts, they weren't getting a lot of airplay, but other people were having hits on your records. What was that like for you? Was that okay? There was some, you know, money coming in from royalties, and I'll just kind of work away at my musician craft? Or?
Well, you know, when I was younger, of course, I was all in a hurry to make it big, you know.
So was that frustrating?
Sure. You know, when I was in my younger days, you know, I was all I was all ready to be a star, you know, but thank God I didn't. And it never really happened. I probably would have killed me, you know. So I'm sort of grateful, you know, that that things happened the way they happened. But it was, you know, at the same time, I still toured and played all the time and kept making records. And, you know, that was always my, you know, the idea. And even though I was starting to get some covers, you know, it wasn't like there were, you know, there were oddball covers and, you know, artists that I loved and started, you know, cutting songs, but it wasn't like the big checks were rolling in. Mm-hmm. You know, I still had to go out and play, so, you know.
John Hiatt is here with us, and he has a new album out. It'll be out in just a couple of weeks called Same Old Man. Would you like to do another tune
on
the album?
Yeah, sure. I'll sing a song about the pleasures of seeing the world from the back of a horse. My wife's been a horsewoman for about 20 years, and she finally got me up on one a couple of years back, and after begging and pleading all these years, and it turns out I enjoy it. It's called Riding My Pony. Chalky like my granddaddy's skin. Sky was cold and lonesome and closing in. All the trees looked like stubble on winter's chin. So I think I'll ride my pony. There's a wreath of bones and ribbon hanging on my cabin door. Lusty appetites have ravaged all of summer's stores. And the fear of death don't even come to visit me no more. So I think I'll ride my pony. Riding somewhere lonesome has no meaning. Riding someplace I ain't stayed too long. Riding down a mountainside careening. Riding up some open cut with fate my only song. Think I'll ride my pony. Could say he's a slave to the brute, but he loves that beast of burden, and there is no substitute for the pleasure of his saddle or the leather of his boot. So I think I'm riding my pony. Had a girl in Dixon County, and we rode the Highland Rim. She kept my cabin warm in winter and mended every hem. And I woulda took her with me, but that trail never ends. So I think I'll ride my pony. Riding someplace spring comes up like roses, wraps its thorns and petals round my mind. Riding somewhere only God supposes I could ever dream of getting to, for seeking up behind. Think I'll ride my pony.
KUT 90.5, John Hiatt is our very special guest this afternoon, and that was another tune off of his album, Same Old Man, which will be out the day after Memorial Day at the end of the month. It was one called Ride My Pony. Well, this album is a little more low-key than the previous one, Master of Disaster. Seems like it's more stripped down, and you produced it.
Yeah, I did. It's sort of a megalomaniacal, maniacal undertaking. I produced it and engineered it, and I must be out of my mind. So
how is that process different than working under or working with somebody like Jim Dickinson, who's a real sort of renowned producer of roots music?
Yeah, well, and fantastic. Really love working with Jim. You know, I've always collaborated with other people making records, and I've always enjoyed that. And I've always thought that a collaboration was just that, you know, and I've always been anxious to work with other people's ideas and to not be, to be able to share ideas and mix it up, you know, and I've loved doing that over my career. But I just sort of felt like what happened was I sort of set up this little sort of studio situation, not really a professional studio, so to speak, but very good equipment, old stuff that I'd collected over the years. And then I finally found a recording device that I liked the sound of that wasn't tape. And it's a thing called DSD, Direct Stream Digital, which records at a much higher sample rate than the typical 24-bit 192K mm-hmm. systems that are currently being employed in most studios. And so I really loved the sound of it. So I just kind of went with where I was at with this group of songs I had, which were pretty simple and direct. So it just seemed like it was the right time to just kind of do one on my own, you know. And I figured that, I'd been making records for 30 years, and, you know, why not? You know, it's not like I had a particular sound in my head, which is partly why I like collaboration, because I don't ever really have a sound in my head. But what happened with this record was, it's not like I have a sound in my head, but I know what I want when I've heard it, you know, when we get it. So this just kind of kept it simple, you know. And I think what we ended up with was, interestingly enough, not unlike the tapes I came to Nashville with when I was 18 that I'd made on my buddy's. My buddy had a pair of stereo Wallensack tape recorders when I was a kid, and we made some demos that, you know, bouncing back and forth between the two Wallensacks, and it was just bass, drums, and a couple of guitars and vocals, and very simple. It's like garage band music, really. And they sort of sound similar to this record in a way. This maybe a little more, you know, glossy, but not terribly different.
It's pretty
low key,
yeah. Just listening to it several times, there's really kind of a melancholy quality on a lot of the songs.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because it's really just a bunch of love songs. It's kind of just talking about a 22-year love story, you know, for the most part. I mean, there's a couple of rough spot type songs, but you know, that's going to happen in a 22-year marriage, that's for sure. I find it mostly pretty joyful.
You're currently in Austin for a couple of nights playing with some of your old buddies, Joe Ely and Lyle Lovett and Guy Clark. You guys have been doing that in various combinations for quite a while now.
We have, you know, we did it, the first time we did it was in 1989. And it was the Country Music Association actually put it together, oddly enough. And a guy named Bill Ivey kind of went out with us, and there was even a Q&A segment in those days where he would take questions from the audience, and it's kind of an odd feature. But we've done it kind of every year or two since, you know, and really just formed a. It's really a special kind of show, you know, and the audience, we love it. So I think that's kind of caught on with the audience.
It's at the Paramount Theater tonight. I'm not sure if it's sold out or not.
But I think it is, but hey, come on anyway. Mm-hmm. Storm the.
So do you have kind of a, if not an exact set that you play, is it kind of a contained within a certain number of tunes, or are you just pulling things out all the time?
Yeah.
From all ports of your career.
Yeah. I mean, when we do that songwriter show, mm-hmm. yeah, it's you're winging it because you only have five, six songs a piece. So
Definitely very
you're not going to play the same six right. every night. No. Yeah, we all change it up. Definitely.
So what's it like to have your songs done by people who are great songwriters in their own, like Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen, to take your songs and record them?
Yeah, well, you know, just way, it's an honor. You know, I mean, it's just, yeah, very flattering. And, of course, you know, just the charge of hearing anybody record your song, just, you know, just as a, just another human being to, for somebody to take the time to, mm-hmm. to, you know, to sing something that you made is a pretty special feeling.
Is there a particular cover of one of your songs that you like?
You know, there's many, you know, lots. I don't play favorites, but yeah, they're all at least interesting. You know, I'd give them that. But you know, there's many that I love. Willie doing Most Unoriginal Sin. I really enjoyed. And I don't think he's even Catholic. So, yeah, Emmylou Harris did a great version of I See Blue Heart. Eric Clapton and B.B. King doing mm-hmm. Riding with the King was really a thrill for me. Of course, Bob Dylan, Cutting the Usual, although it was, you know, it was for a bad film and he probably just needed a quick song. I'm sure that was his case, but still, what an thrill for me, you know, because one of my big heroes. But yeah, there's a bunch. Johnny Adams, the tan
canary,
man, beautiful voice. God bless him. He cut a couple of my tunes. Great.
Yeah, what a voice he had.
Yeah, man. The Neville Brothers did a great song, a version of a song called "Washable Ink." And, yeah, it's been a lot, just a lot of thrilling moments.
Yeah, a lot of those are collected on the Rhino album called Love is Strange, I can't remember. I played something off of it yesterday.
Oh, right, yeah. I forgot.
Collected a bunch
of those.
That's
right, yeah.
Some of those that you
had mentioned.
Yeah,
Love is Strange, I think that is the title. And indeed, it is. Yeah.
John Hiatt is here with us. Would you want to do an old one?
Sure. Yeah, I'll do an old one. Let me see. It's not that old. Well, yeah, I'll do this one if I can remember the words. Could not get to sleep, it was on my wedding night. I was tangled in the sheets, I was dreaming about a light. Pouring through her window, coming up through the floor. Taking up the darkness, coming through her kitchen door. Down to that old oak table, I ran to take a look. And my whole life flashed before me, just like a storybook. And she used to make me breakfast, or we'd sit around and talk. Have another cup of coffee, maybe take a little walk. And dust down a country road, blowing in the wind behind an old truck load. Up before the rooster crows, there's an old dog staring at the dust down a country road. And this truck is going someplace, I just can't be sure. When tomorrow's just a day after all that's been before. And I always thought of leaving, I never could stay too long. Now her memory's catching up, those old sweet dreams are all gone. Like dust down a country road,
an old truckload up before the rooster crows. There's an old dog staring at the dust down a country road. In this gun, I'd catch that old dog napping, and I'd shoot him before he runs, 'cause he ain't much good for nothing except staring at the dust. God, I wonder what he's looking at, sneaking up on us like dust down a country road, blowing in the wind behind an old truck load up before the rooster crows. There's an old dog staring at the dust, dust down a country road, blowing in the wind behind an old truck load up before the rooster crows. There's an old dog staring at the dust down a country road. There's an old dog staring at the dust down a country road.
John Hiatt here on KUT 90.5. And do I take it that that's dust down the country road?
That is. I'm sorry, I didn't name it. Yeah, Dust Down the Country Road. Yeah, that's that was off of Walk On. That's the one when we got the test CD of the record, and my wife was playing it in the car. Our youngest, Georgia, who was about 7 at the time, she looked over after that song had ended, and Georgia was in tears, and she goes, "Mama, Daddy's going to shoot the dog."
Well, one of your daughters sings behind you on the new album.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Lily.
Some nice our vocalizing
kid.
There.
Yeah, she's got a great voice, and she's a songwriter in her own right, and very good one. And yeah, she came in and sang vocals on two songs, and man, just nailed it. That blood harmony thing, I think.
Well, you're going to be out on the road during the summer in July, and I think June or July or July and August.
Yeah.
Behind the new album, Same Old Man. Will it be, what kind of, you gonna have a?
I've got a little quartet, including myself. I've got Kenny Blevins, who played drums on the album. He's been with me on and off since the old Goner days. Mm-hmm. Great drummer, Louisiana drummer. And Patrick O'Hearn, who played bass on the record, is coming out, bringing his 300-year-old upright bass.
Wow.
Said he couldn't find one any older. So, but a fantastic player, great musician. And then Doug Lancio, a great guitarist from Nashville, born and raised. Nashville boy. He's been playing with Patty Griffin for the last 10 years or so. She's going to let us borrow him for the summer.
So it'll sound a lot like the record then.
Well, we're going to do, yeah, I mean, we're going to keep it simple like that. And then we're going to do some stuff that, you know, we're going to try and do some of the things that I do more when I'm out solo than I've done when I'm out with a band. Mm-hmm. We're going to try and bring that into this sort of band setup a little bit, mix and match a little.
John Hiatt, we're waiting for his new album, which will be out on the 27th of the month, called Same Old Man. We should remind folks that support for live music on KUT comes from Time Warner Cable, making a contribution to preserving and enhancing Austin's quality of life as an Austin Energy Green Choice corporate partner. Well, thanks very much for coming in this afternoon.
My pleasure, Jay. Thank you.
And good to have you in town. We were going to continue on with one of your tunes that Bonnie Raitt had a big hit with called A Thing Called Love. Anything you want to say about that particular tune?
Oh, man, I just, you know, that was a Bonnie's cover. That was a big sort of step up for us, for sure, for me. It really, really helped me kind of
put you on the map,
get a leg up, too. I mean, she did such a great job, and, of course, that was the year she swept the Grammys. My wife and I had the pleasure of going out there and watching her walk up about five or six times, mm-hmm. and, of course, every time she walked up, they played Thing Called Love, so it was a little thrill for us, too. And but, yeah, she's just fantastic. Such a great voice and such a wonderful interpreter of...
Mm-hmm. Plays a mean slide, too.
Unbelievable guitarist, and of course...
It's really a signature sound for her now.
Unbelievable, yeah. She's right, you know, there's, you know, slide players, you know, you got Lowell George, Ry Cooder, you know, of the contemporary ones. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only a handful, Sonny Landreth. You know, there's only a few, and she's right up there. She definitely has... You know it's her when you hear her play.
Mm-hmm.
That's she's got that slow drawn out thing that's so cool.
John Hyatt, thanks again for coming in and sharing your music with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Good luck with the new album. Cliff Hargrove has been our engineer. I'm Jay Trachtenberg. I'll be around till 3 o'clock with lots more music. Here's the John Hyatt song, Thing Called Love, as interpreted by Bonnie Raitt here on KUT 90.5.